This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall, Franklin, Kentucky. There's our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Going to have Greg Hoops Peterson talking some baseball coming up a little bit later on in this very hour back in Las Vegas. And Brad Evans going to be on the program in hour number three. Buckle up for Brad America. He is a treat. But Jensen, we've got a treat, and that's the college football poll. It is out. There's rejoicing in some cities and maybe others going, hey, we should be higher. Let's get to it right now in our highlights and headlines.
Your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Jensen, I think there's some truth in it that people like to be offended, whether the offense was intended or not. Ohio State's 1, Oregon 2, Notre Dame 3, Texas 4, and maybe Indiana is the aggrieved party this morning, Jensen, on the outside looking into the Big Four. What do you make of it, and is there anything that you really do take from it?
It doesn't matter. It is what it is. And you know, does it sell newspapers and magazines digitally because people don't buy them physically anymore? Sure. Is it bulletin board material for some places? Sure. I'm thinking Dabo Swinney of Clemson.
Yeah.
You know, does Kurt Cignetti care? No, I probably not. Just play the games in front of you. Our great friend of the program, Pete Golding, head coach down at Ole Miss, would say, great, spot the ball and let's go. If you are, as our audience is, looking for some actionable opportunities from some of the trends, 22 of the last 23 years, there's been at least one preseason top 10 team that has finished unranked. But more importantly, 19 of the last 22 champions, Dave, have ranked inside the top 7. So you have Ohio State, Oregon, Georgia, Notre Dame, Texas, Indiana, and Miami. That technically is our crystal ball, Dave. One of those 7, pretty high percentage, is going to hoist the college football playoff championship trophy. So if you're looking at odds, if you're looking to do cross-board parlays, I would say start to build your portfolio and get some exposure at higher odds, Dave, with those 7 teams. You got a couple of two, 3 weeks here to be able to do that before those teams get underway. I think that would be my advice in looking at where we've been over the last, better part of 2 decades.
And again, 19 of those 22 champions, as you mentioned, inside the top 7, although last year Indiana would be one of those that bucked that trend. Mm-hmm. Also, I think of note is that Bama, for the first time in 18 years, almost 2 decades, is not inside the top 10. I think that might, you would think if DeBoer wanted to use that down there at Roll Tide Country, you could say, look at the disrespect you're getting there. And Lane Kiffin, a guy to keep an eye on, obviously everybody talks about Lane, number 11 for LSU. So outside of that top 7, if you want to go with that historical trend. We do have injuries to get to, and certainly this happens all the time in the NFL, but Jordan Tyson is expected to miss about 2 months with a hamstring injury. This kind of buttonholed yesterday from the Jets with Breece Hall. We were mentioning this right as we were going off the air yesterday, Jensen, that Breece Hall, we didn't know the severity of it at the time. It was untouched in practice. Aaron Glenn has come back and said, hey, it's a strained groin. He doesn't think it's anything of a big deal, but the Tyson one in New Orleans, Jensen, definitely feels like a deal if you're going to miss about 2 months here is what he's expected to miss.
It's a massive loss because if you're Kellen Moore and company, you're looking at designing, a lot of routes for Tyler Shuck to be able to see Chris Olave on one side and then Jordan Tyson on the other. And a lot of great reports out of Saints camp that Jordan Tyson was looking the part before that started. Dave, this could be a potential auto fade of the Saints, knowing their first 2 games on the road against Detroit and on the road against Baltimore. Now, let me caution you with week 2, and a great reason to become a VSiN Pro subscriber to get our NFL betting guide. Series trends for each week for each NFL team on their schedule. Week 2, Saints at the Ravens. Road teams head-to-head in the New Orleans-Baltimore series, the last 6 times the road team has covered in five of those six. So we always know week two, overreaction week in the NFL. What did we think we believed from week one to carry over to week two? That is a significant trend, knowing that Lamar Jackson and company have traditionally allowed some teams to stick around that they should put away. They might have done it the first half, and then all of a sudden we get a massive sweat in the second half. So it could be something to put a pin in here, Dave, knowing that these are situational opportunities, especially in a Circa Millions competition, where you might want to keep those in mind.
Injuries keep mounting up, man. It's they're going to keep mounting up. We had Marty Herney in the program yesterday. Please like, subscribe to the VSiN by the Books podcast. And he talked about it. He said it's not abnormal. This is, and I do recall this. I don't recall the severity of these injuries, though, back covering the league there for two decades. But Marty will tell you, this is kind of par for the course this time of the year. This Clipper situation in the NBA, Jensen, it's getting dicier, it feels like. We're waiting for a resolution. Did Steve Ballmer do something a little bit underneath the table, if you will, with Kawhi Leonard? We know Kawhi's trying to go to the Sixers with Toronto. That's being held up right now. As the NBA is investigating this, we got a report yesterday that the NBA says is just flat out inaccurate, Jensen. This is getting to be one of those he said, he said type deals, and I don't know how this is going to get resolved, but the NBA says this is not done by a long shot.
He said, in the name of Mike Bass, NBA spokesman, quote, ESPN's article regarding the LA Clippers investigation, for which the NBA declined to cooperate, contains numerous and significant inaccuracies. The results of this matter will be made clear once the investigation is concluded. And we do remind people, in a Lewis Ross administration, we do not comment on active investigations until those are completed. We will give you those findings and what eventually happens. Biggest story here, Dave, though, it's the business of the offseason. It's a pretty big trade that's being held up right now between the Clippers and the Raptors. So we'd like to get some finality, I think, if you're both those front offices, to understand what you're roster construction is going to look like headed into the end of the summer and into the early fall.
Love to hear how that phone call went. Your ragtag operation printing that garbage. It's kind of the way it goes normally on those calls. Let's get to some business in Major League Baseball. Big business. The Padres sell for $3.9 billion, the most expensive deal right now in baseball history. I know other organizations out there go, oh, Padres went for that. I wonder what we could get on the open market, Jensen, but not unexpected here, but big money for a big time franchise out there in San Diego.
Yeah, indeed. And this was going to happen. There was no issue here. I believe it was a unanimous voting by the rest of the owners there to have this go through without a hiccup. Just to give you an idea, the New York Yankees, Dave, valued right around $8.5 billion. The Dodgers at 7.8, the Red Sox at 5.25. So looking at kind of where those numbers were, and that was according to Forbes in March of 2026, when those valuations were before the beginning of the season. So now you kind of get a sense of where the San Diego Padres ticket was. How about Mark Walter having to offload, you know, his stake in the Los Angeles Lakers, maybe the LA Dodgers on the horizon? If you thought the Lakers at $12.5 billion were a nice little price, wait till you see what the Dodgers sell for, if indeed he is forced to sell them as well.
You made the great analogy, now number one, of succession in the Roy family here with the Buss family in LA very quickly. Jeannie apparently is saying, whoa. These reports might be a little bit false, that the Buss family has sold the remaining 18 shares. And I know that Dr. Buss, no longer with us, will probably not be very happy to know that in no short order, the Buss name is not associated with the Lakers. Jeannie is pushing back on those reports today.
Yeah, that according to Ramona Shelburne of ESPN, that she is contesting her siblings' vote to sell the family's remaining 17.8% share of the Lakers. That according to a letter from her lawyer that was obtained by ESPN. It is a real life succession playing out, Dave. And if you've not watched the show, do a little catch up in tandem with seeing how this is far from over, I think. But this is now an issue. And I mentioned Mark Walter, because if this business isn't concluded in due time, he's in much more trouble, because you got to pay apparently some of the loans back that are looking fraudulent at this time. Interesting dynamics moving and a lot of tectonic plates shifting beneath our feet.
I guess Genie Bus would be Siobhan in this situation here with contending against Kendall and the brothers. Let's get to Major League Baseball here, Jensen, in another wild day. It feels like we're going to be talking about this a lot here in the next month and a half down the stretch. They come maybe more so. The National League is going to heat up too, but in the American League right now, Jensen, Orioles have emerged here. Texas, not quite sure. And Detroit back on the front burner here. Everybody looking to make their pushes, not only for the wild card, maybe some divisional potential races as well.
It's beautiful time, Dave. It was 6 month season. It's going to come down to a 6 week sprint and in a beautiful topography laying out in front of us right now as we enter play today in the American League. Seven teams within two games of the final wild card spot occupied currently by the Baltimore Orioles. On the National League side, you have four teams within three games where San Diego has that final wild card spot. But if you want to add the Phillies in there, five teams within four games of each other. Man, oh man, down the stretch they come. Going to be fun to watch.
My Mets win their fourth game in a row. They've won 10 of 13. And I saw somebody post on social media, the Mets are going to be a bear in 2027. And then, you know, the GIF Jensen with the guy with the hand on his shoulder said baseball 2027. It's, you know, who's going to tell them? Like, we love what we're seeing down the stretch in 2026, Jensen. I hope the owners, we're talking to you, realize how great this is. And we're not going to be happy if we don't have our baseball next year. We're just going to throw that out there. We'll table that discussion because I'm sure, Jensen, you'll have a lot of words that you might be able to speak to those owners in time. When we come back, let's catch up with Greg Peterson, see what he likes on the docket today in Major League Baseball. That's all next right here on Visa by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books, on this Tuesday morning. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. Always look forward to our conversations with the man they call Hoops, but he knows his baseball as well. Greg Peterson, give him a follow on X at GUnit_81, host of the Baseball Betting Show and coast-to-host Hoops podcast. We're not too far away from that. Greg, I think I saw you tweet something to the effect of, you know, we could really go for a college basketball game at X hour of the night. I know a couple of your pet peeves might be scheduling in college basketball and then baseball in the day games. How has Major League Baseball done for Greg Peterson and the betting profile with day baseball this year? Are they getting it right or getting it better at least?
Scale of 1 to 10, we're going to give them about a 4, 4.5. There have been some rough ones. We had a doubleheader on Monday, which is good, but the Tuesdays are always brutal. We even have a series out there in Wrigley Field, and we have a 0 day baseball. It always feels like the Tuesdays are where they stumble. I mean, they once said that the club was going up on a Tuesday, but not the day baseball, and that makes me sad.
Well, the club might be going up at PNC later on tonight because we get Braxton Ashcraft, Cater Montero. Tigers putting it on the Pirates yesterday in the series opener here, Greg. Do we get a little on the comeback here for the Buccos tonight, being able to even this series behind one of their best arms here in 2026?
I do think that this is going to be a spot for some positivity for the Pirates. They continue to be number one in offense at home with about 5.4 runs per game. And Braxton Ashcraft, I feel like he really figured something out in his last start. Gives up just one run. And if you look at the advanced numbers, more like a 358 fielding, depending compared to over a 385 ERA. He's still getting about 9.9 strikeouts per nine innings. Hair over 2 walks per nine innings. Now, I like the over because for the Tigers, this is a different offense than what we were seeing towards the beginning part of the season. So You have to throw away some of those early numbers when they didn't have Gleyber Torres out there, when they didn't have out there Avi Baez. Like, their bottom lineup on those two guys were out was just absolutely terrible. Now it's a much more balanced lineup. But for Montero, only about 6 strikeouts per 9 innings. He pitches to a ton of contact. Now he doesn't hurt himself, only giving up like 1 home run, 2 walks per 9 innings. But I do think that this Pirates team is going to do a nice job in terms of getting to him. Still don't necessarily have the world's most faith in the Pirates bullpen, even though they revamped it with the likes of Luke Weaver and Kirby Yates and company at the trade deadline. But I think that this is a good spot here for the Pirates after they did have a solid series in their previous one against the Red Sox. So in on that money line of the Pirates and like that 8 to the over.
Okay, you got to explain this one to me, my friend. San Francisco against Cleveland. Two teams we do not think of for offense at all. But you think maybe today might be an opportunity to buy low.
And how about the most profitable pitcher in the American League in Foster Griffin? If you've bet on him for $100 in every one of his starts, now this obviously goes back to his time with the Washington Nationals, you'd be up $1,307 as far as this season. You would not be that rich if you bet on Carson Wentz in every one of his starts as far as the season, because for one, he has not made 13 starts this season. And for two, he's got an ERA above a 6. He is giving up over 5 walks per 9 innings. Not a guy that I really have a lot of faith in. Giants offense has been better away from home rather than at home as well. Like, Rafael Devers is now up to 24 home runs. Know that they're banged up. They trade away a few pieces like Luis Reyes and company at the trade deadline, but they've been a little bit better. But Giants now bottom 8 team in terms of bullpen ERA as well. And for Foster Griffin, as much as they tooted his own horn in terms of the way that he's been able to be profitable for you, regression seems to be on the rise in 3.25 ERA. But he is giving up 1.4 home runs per 9 innings, 4.23 fielding independent. I do think that the Guardians, who traded for Joe Adell, Nathaniel Lowe, and a few others at the trade deadline, get some offense going here. 8 just feels like a really low total, especially with Wisenhunt not giving you really much of anything. So I like the over. And for the Guardians, that run line price is about +120. One delay run half at +20 on the run line.
I like it. Okay, I have a love-hate relationship with my boys in the Queen City right now. The Reds yesterday, they giveth and then they taketh. But at least we ended up in the positive last night. Played a little money line on the Reds in both ends of the double dip. They split that. We are on to game 3 of this 5-game series tonight. Kyle Leahy for the Cardinals, Andrew Abbott for the Reds. Do we finally get some offense from both these teams? And could my Cincinnati Reds be a bettable spot again tonight?
And we are going to have two very tired bullpens out there, because we saw these two teams play 18-plus innings yesterday. And in that game number one, they both really went into the bullpen. So I think that this is a prime spot, especially with a guy in Kyle Leahy who has just not been good away from home. When he's been at home, he's giving up less than a half home run per 9 innings, closer about a 2.95 ERA. That jumps by a full point away from him with 1.7 home runs per 9 innings. Additionally, Andrew Abbott, he's actually been much better recently. 300 runs or fewer allowed in 17 out of his last 19 starts. He's still getting less than 7 strikeouts per 9 innings. He's still giving up 4 walks per 9 innings, and his ERA actually elevates at home. So 8.5 total, a little bit too low for me. I'm going to be in on the over. Even if you're seeing 9, I was seeing a few of those out there, I'd still be in on the over. Do you think that the Reds, with having the likes of J.J. Bleede, Sal Stewart, Ellie De La Cruz, give you 20-plus home runs, they are going to be able to find a way to be able to get the job done and get to Leahy here. So I do like the money line of the Reds. You're able to get plus money there. I do like this total to the over.
Greg, you just don't see splits like this when you look at the Kansas City Royals. 500 at home, 22 games under 500 on the road. It's just astounding when you look at that team. Back at home against a really bad team, no matter where they play, it feels like a good opportunity to hop in on the Royals.
You mentioned that they're really bad wherever they play. Athletics actually have more wins away from home rather than at home as well. So that shows you how much they don't like playing in Sacramento. But you just take a look at the injured list for the team right now. Brent Rooker, Tyler Soderstrom, Nick Kurtz, Shea Langeliers. I'm sure the towel boy has found his way onto the injured list right now. Like, everyone is injured for them. And then for the Kansas City Royals, it's going to be, as I always like to call it, the poo-poo platter of pitchers sort of game. You should be getting Daniel Lynch as some sort of an opener. And then after that, probably makes way for Mason Black, who actually has about a 3.75 ERA. Fielding independent is above a five, though. Even with that, I like the under, though, because, again, who's going to step up to the plate for the Athletics? They might be calling one of the three of us up to the big league level at some point, and we know that the Athletics ownership loves to save money, so that would be very good for them. So shout out to them. I'd probably be doing it for just some free Gatorade or something like that. But that said, I do think that this is a good spot here for the Royals. They've been much better with their offense at home. Only average about 3.65 runs per game away from them. Entering this series, averaging 4.75 runs per game at home because they did move the fences in at Kauffman Stadium. I like the Royals here on the money line, and I was seeing a total of 10. I just don't see how the Athletics help you get to that total, so I took a shot on the under as well.
All right, great minds think alike, because that's where I was going here for Mariners and Brewers. Critical series for both teams. Brewers coming off a really impressive 3-win-in-4-game Chavez Ravine trip against the Dodgers. Mariners continue to kind of limp through this season, but still, with all as bad as they've played, very much alive in this postseason race. We get some run suppression tonight here at American Family Field, Greg.
Absolutely, we do. I like what I've seen out of Bryce Miller this year. He's getting about 9 strikeouts, so less than 2 walks per 9 innings. Now that ERA is about a 3.37, but that's mainly because of the deep ball. He's giving up 1.5 home runs per 9 innings. There's one thing the Brewers don't do. Out of 30 teams, they're 30th in terms of home runs on a per at-bat basis. That very much helps out Bryce Miller. And just wild home and road splits on the flip side for Kyle Harrison. At home, he's posting up an ERA below 1.50. He's giving up less than a half a home run per 9 innings when he's at home. Away from home, he's giving up nearly 2 home runs per 9 innings with a 6.10 ERA. His ERA is 4 times higher away from home than it is at home. Additionally, he's backed up by a Brewers bullpen that is now number 1 in the National League in terms of ERA. Recognize that they're dealing with a little bit of injury. Ebner Uribe being out is something that you very much want to know for the Brewers, not just in this game, but over the next few weeks moving forward. But I do think that you're going to get some good pitching here and for the Mariners. The Blue Jays are neck and neck in terms of who's dead last in the big leagues in terms of run creation, as the big dumper Cal Raleigh, well, he's just taking a big dump this year, hitting less than .175. Not been great there. So in on the under, and I do like the Brewers here on the money line.
Let's sneak one more in here, about 45 seconds to go here, Greg. Jackson Kent for the Nats going to up against Cal Quantrill of the Rangers. I'm seeing this number's kind of on the move down to 8 in some spots here. Might we get some runs there deep in the heart of Texas?
Yep, ball is going to be in play plenty. Cal Quantrill only getting about 6 strikeouts per 9 innings. Doesn't hurt himself. Nice veteran who only gives up like 2.5 to 3 walks per 9 innings. But even with the Nationals dealing with injuries, C.J. Abrams is still giving you 29-plus home runs. Even some of these mix-and-match guys like a Dallin Lyle have been solid. I like what I'm seeing out of Andre Chaparro. And for Jackson Kent, first start as a big leaguer, only went 4 innings, gave up 3 runs. Rangers now have a fully healthy Corey Seager, which should help out their offense as well. I took a shot here on the Nationals on the money line. For Kent, he wasn't too bad at the minor league level, so I trusted him being more like Clark Kent in this spot. Give me the money line of the Washington Nationals and the league's best offense to get you some offense. I like the over.
Greg, have a great run today, as you always do out there in the great city of Las Vegas. People, if you see Greg on the street, wave. I don't think you should beep. Just wave. Say hi to Greg as he's out there running as he does. Greg, give him a follow again on on Twitter at GUnit_81. We are back talking week 0 college football next. VSiN by the books.
Tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
College football season is right around the corner. Now, betting it blind, that is not a good strategy. So we're going to help you out. Get the VSiN College Football Betting Guide free when you become a VSiN Pro subscriber. It's got previews of all 138 FBS teams, our preseason top 50, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from the sharpest minds here on the network. That is not all. You're also going to get with VSiN Pro the NFL Betting Guide, the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video, on the VSiN Watch app. You can try it all for as little as $9.99 or lock in with a full year, save 50% off of the VSiN Pro annual subscription. All you have to do is head over to VSiN.com/subscribe today. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. Jensen Lewis, Dave Ross here with you. Brad Evans is going to join the program in the next hour. Talk a lot of pro football with Brad, of course. We're going to talk some college football right now here, Jensen, because I think one of the things you should always remember in betting too, is we say this a lot in the network. Hey, if it wasn't a standalone game, would you bet it? And you don't necessarily have to buy in or bet a game just because it's potentially the only game on the board when we get to, say, the game in Dublin between UNC and TCU. You and I have talked about this game a lot here and there throughout the months once this game came on the board, and we knew what it was going to look like. I'd mentioned when TCU was 6.5, if you liked them, that was probably the time to buy in on them. And if you like the UNC side, wait, because we thought the number would go up. It has. It's up to 7.5 on the total on the side. On the total, it's come down to 47.5 here. So, Jensen, these numbers are starting to get more hardened as we get closer and closer to Dublin next week here. What do you make of these numbers?
Yeah, pretty clear. North Carolina is a dumpster fire. TCU is the more organized side. And the early season rust plus the travel over to Ireland is going to lean me towards an under. I don't know if I want to lay the touchdown and the hook right now with Sonny Dykes' crew. You do have a quarterback change. Remember Josh Hoover to Indiana through the transfer portal. Harvard transfer Jaden Craig is now your trigger man there for the Horned Frogs. So again, they also have a new offensive coordinator. Again, we talk about this a lot in pro football. New OCs getting the play in, getting organized, you know, the sequencing, the tempo. I do like the under for the rest, or excuse me, the rust portion of this. I don't buy any of North Carolina, even with Bobby Petrino as the new OC there. Very young and inexperienced. Everything that's happened with this group last year, that's all they've heard this offseason, but not really a lot to write home about if I'm a Tar Heel fan. So under 47.5 or pass for me at Aviva Stadium in Dublin.
We were talking with PJ Glasser, doing a great job filling in for Joe Friso today, producing the show, about how there's not really any dynamic games, at least when you look at it from an odds perspective. I mean, obviously Carolina and TCU, that'll be the most tightly lined one that we see here when you get to, say, USC against a San Jose State in week zero. Massive number that you got to lay if you want to back the Trojans. Jensen, this is one of those teams out there, those other teams we talked about with the polls coming out, where you have to be positioned to make maybe a deep playoff run. Where are you on the Trojans and fight on this year? Do you think they are maybe up to the task of being a pleasant surprise?
This feels like an alt line you could play here. I would lay the 38.5. I do think that this gets out of hand quite quickly. And you have a San Jose State team that they are a solid Mountain West program, but boy, this is stepping up in weight class in a big way. Clearly a mismatch both in size and talent and depth. I would imagine USC covers easily. I think the over could be in play here, but I'd be comfortable laying the 38.5 right now. And hey, if there's garbage time, you know, points, you know, better if you're an over player, but USC clearly the side in this matchup.
Check out Tim Murray, the college football podcast that he has out each and every week. It's spectacular. We know that he and Matt Eumanns will be going back out to watch a Hawaii football game, but this time not in Hawaii. They're going to be going to Stanford this year. So Hawaii at Stanford, and the tree right now is the favorite over the rainbows here at -6 is what we're seeing, a total of 49.5 here. Jensen, are you surprised Stanford is almost a full touchdown favorite here against Hawaii?
I don't know. I'm going to defer to our VSiN primetime experts of Hawaii. I'm going to give them the floor. I should Stanford win? Maybe, but I don't think that this is a game that's really high on my radar. I'd be much more looking at Memphis and UNLV. And I think Dan Mullen there has been you know, really strong early. I think he's going to be in a position to try and run this thing up. New head coach there from Memphis in Charles Huff, formerly, I think, of Marshall or Southern Miss. Significant roster turnover via the portal. Still having a quarterback battle from reports there. I would be willing to lay the 6 here with UNLV, giving the continuity and the venue at Allegiant Stadium. I think you could get a shootout here, though. This kind of feels like a back and forth. So the over definitely in play there for that UNLV-Memphis matchup.
I do see it similarly that if you made me look at those two favorites, your Stanford land six or UNLV land six, I would lean towards the Rebs there at Allegiant Stadium, up to 6.5, by the way, this morning too, in some shops. So maybe they're picking up what we're putting down as well. I'd look to the way UNLV and laying that before it gets up to 7, which I think eventually it will go. Looking ahead here to week ones, once we get into September, and again, there are some games that I think we look at, a Clemson and an LSU that we're going to look at. UCLA and a Cal should be tightly contested, at least when it comes to the numbers. Baylor against Auburn and Boise State against Oregon. We were talking about Dabo a little bit with Clemson earlier in the program today, going up against Lane and LSU. LSU is a significant favorite here, Jensen. Do we think Clemson might have another, getting what, 9.5 is what we're seeing today, to keep this one a little bit more competitive?
I would say the under is where I'd go here. Don't like that big of a spread early. Again, you know, Lane Kiffin coming in and Sam Levitt and company trying to get on the same page. I do think we're talking about the top 25 earlier in the program, mm-hmm. and looking for disrespect narratives. Clemson unranked. Yes. Okay, an unranked Clemson team going into Death Valley, although talk to each fan base, they think they have the actual Death Valley. It is going to be funny to watch and see where the motivation is from Dabo and getting this group buying in this early to say, oh, not only were we disrespected, we feel we're a better team. I have seen some reports, especially from people that we respect, that this is an intense, locked-in Dabo Sweeney, and also this team is pretty physical. And the flip side of that is, boy, when Lane Kiffin touches an offense for the first time, it feels like it goes to another level almost instantaneously. So excited to see a strength on strength, if you will. 9.5, probably a little rich for me, but the under does feel like in this format of week one, with these two teams just taking the field for the first time, perhaps not as seamless for the offensive side, and maybe the defenses get the better of the offenses in a much tighter game than where the line currently is.
I'd say my lean there is I do like the side. I do like the Tiger, and I would take the 9.5. But here's the thing. I'm going to wait and see if I can get greedy and see if it hits 10. If it hits 10, I will play Clemson at that spot. Because, Jensen, if it moves down to 9 against me, a half point, I'm okay with that. That's not as big a deal. But that 10 could be significant. So I'm going to wait and see. But my lean is to Clemson here early on with that focus of Dabo Sweeney, hearing those reports as well. I kind of like that spot. Look, Lane's going to get that offense going. You're right. I have more questions about whether or not that defense, if it is a lower scoring game, I certainly want to have the points in pocket here. Are they going to be as good defensively too? If it's a low scoring game, give me those points, man. And I'm going to hope that gets to 10 here and gobble up those with Clemson. You know, I'm always, you know, giving Tim Murray a hard time. He doesn't set the schedule for Notre Dame. It's not Tim's fault, right? And when you don't play in a conference, you can only play whatever you can get on your schedule. And so there's always consternation there when it comes to Notre Dame. But you can make the case, you look at Texas Tech's schedule, it's not any better necessarily than a team like Notre Dame. And Notre Dame does open up against Wisconsin. Now, again, you would think at Lambeau Field, they're 20.5-point favorites. I don't know if there's any danger there of an upset, but maybe not as big a pushover as you're seeing with some of those spreads that are in the 30s. What do you make of Notre Dame in that first game out this year against Scotty?
A lot of hype, right? And again, will they be that team that everyone, at least on paper, thinks they can be? Wisconsin, maybe a pseudo home game there, being at Lambeau Field, and we'll see how many Badger fans can try and outnumber the Fighting Irish. Short trip there from South Bend to get up there to Green Bay, but this will be a fun one to watch. First kind of audition here for Notre Dame to show they are indeed a forceful national championship contender. Not a lot of expectation from the Badgers this year, albeit this is kind of their Super Bowl to start the year. So yeah, why not come out fighting? You know that this has been on the schedule since you started spring practice. Like to see what happens in this first half. And CJ Carr going to be one of the Heisman favorites. Will he come out gunslinging? And let's see what the replacements for, you know, the backfield of those two running backs and Jeremiah Love, Jadarian Price, Aeneas Williams. Here you go, pal. Right front and center from the get-go in what should be a very, very fun environment.
and up to 21 in some spots from that 20 and a half here early this morning. When we come back, sure, is it way too early for those circa week number one survivor leans? I don't think so. We're going to break those down next right here, VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
VSiN is on the clock for the second annual Pro Football Futures Draft. It's going to be a lot of fun. 13 VSiN hosts and guests going to face off in a fantasy football snake-style draft hosted by the big Swede, Dustin Swedelson, and every pick doubles as a handicapping breakdown that you can use. Win totals, divisional winners, player props, stat leaders, last year's competitors are all back for round two, joined by three newcomers, Jensen, this year, stepping into the Futures Draft room for the first time. You know them. Keyshawn Johnson, former number one pick, comedian and sports commentator Nick Bakay, who's a lot of fun, very funny man, and the guru himself, John Hansen, is going to be in the program. Don't just watch the Futures Draft. You can profit from it as well. Tune in Thursday, August 20th at 5 p.m. Eastern, only on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You've got the fifth pick. I've got the ninth pick. The draft board is not complete for me yet, but you know, it was great talking to Matt Humans in hour number one as well about these strategies. Matt's going to be involved in a lot of these circuit contests as well, Jensen. And again, a lot of people are like, whoa, you took a real long shot with your first pick last year. And Jensen, that almost got me to the winner's circle a year ago. That's kind of the idea. I wonder if more people will go with that strategy here in year number two.
Yeah, round one will be fascinating because of the division winner pick you have to make. And there's only eight right answers by the time we get to the end of the year. So who's going to take the longer odds? I know you took Seattle last year, and that was a big payout as well. I do have my big board set. I have the number five selection, as you said. Pretty certain my selection will be there when it finally gets to me. As I mentioned, the two player props that I have circled at the top, I don't think anyone is going to see coming. So I like my opportunities there to leverage the field. Not really there yet on the stat leaders, but I'm not real worried about that. This will probably be later in the draft, or at least the caveat this year, Dave, you have to make one pick in each of the five categories in the first five rounds. You're not allowed to pick two picks of the same category in the first five rounds. So, excuse me, that'll be the one little caveat that changes some strategy for people moving forward.
Going to be a lot of fun. And again, very profitable. Finished in the black last year, hoping to do it again. So if you're watching out there, that's going to be Thursday again, 5 p.m. Eastern, right here during Mitch and Paul's spot and Follow the Money. Okay, let's get to Circa Survivor for people out there that are getting ready, whatever your contest might be. But hey, we'll do it off the Circa Survivor model here for weeks one and beyond. And again, we're not going to tip our hand just yet, but we will have something for our audience as well that you can play along with real money that Jensen and I are going to do too. So we'll give you those details as we get closer and closer to week one. But Jensen, when you look at the big spreads out there, I don't think it's going to be a huge surprise when you see that, say, I know one theory is going to be, man, just play against the Cardinals for a while. They're going to probably win three games this year. So I'll just throw that out there. That means there's three potential pitfalls. You look at their win total at 3.5. So be careful in that. They are massive underdogs against the Chargers in week one at 10.5. The Jags are big favorites against Cleveland in week one at 7.5-point favorites. And then the Lions against the Saints, 7-point favorites. Interesting number there. We talked about some of the injuries that we're getting here. Certainly Detroit's had their fair share as well as the Saints. Jensen, any strategy advice you'd want to give to people that are getting in a Survivor-like league?
Well, if you're in Circa Survivor, remember the rules that you have to save teams for Thanksgiving week and also Christmas week. And there could be some overlap there as far as your strategy and how you map it out. So you're thinking, at least for me, my early lean, if I'm not in a Circa competition as far as Survivor goes, Detroit would certainly be up there for me as a selection in week one of Survivor. Now, knowing the news that Jordan Tyson is going to be on the shelf for some time, that takes a big weapon away from Tyler Shuck and Kellen Moore's offense. We say it all the time, Dave. It's not about surviving. It's about winning. And so the Las Vegas Raiders would be a team that I would look at in week one. Again, it's the most unpredictable week in the Survivor schedule. You have to kind of, you know, go in a little blindly about what you expect teams to be like and then react from there in week two. The Raiders would certainly be a team that I would look at. I'd also wonder about the Cincinnati Bengals. And again, what a matchup it's going to be against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Bengals will be at home. We know Cincinnati traditionally a slow starter, but also looking out the rest of the year, Dave, is what do we know now and what can we anticipate for the future? So that could get me back to the LA Chargers. They'll be one of the most popular, if they're not the most popular pick on the board. But I kind of joked with you, we're used to the Chargers having injuries early in the season that derails you from wanting to use them later. The two hammer spots that you could see for the Chargers right now would be week one against the Cardinals. It could even be week two against the Raiders, albeit that is a divisional game. And then looking out to week 11 against the Jets, and then maybe even against the Dolphins in week 16. But that's a long way to go in just kind of understanding where you'd want to map out using certain teams. For you, if you had to go and kind of rank your top pick and maybe an alternate pick in week one, where would you come down knowing if it is a circa competition where you have to save for Thanksgiving and Christmas, does that kind of cross some teams off in week one for you?
It does. And it kind of gets back to the fantasy draft that we're going to do on Thursday and why I take a little bit more risk than maybe others early in those drafts with bigger numbers. That's kind of my approach as well in Survivor. It's why last year I took the Colts in week one against the Dolphins. It was not a chic pick at that time and got that one out of the way. I'm not like a play it safe guy early. Like, what's the real advantage of burning the Chargers in week one? To me, at least for you out there, it's your money. You can do however you see fit with it. But for me, there's not really an advantage play to play the Chargers in week one against the Cardinals. That's probably going to be the number one option out there for the people. So my thought process, I do not want to go with the masses. I want to go against the grain. I want to try to win and not to survive. So we try to get that leg up early because it's going to get me to teams like a Tennessee that I don't know how many opportunities I'm going to have to potentially take them, especially at this Breece Hall injury now for the Jets is something to monitor. If you take away their best weapon offensively, and Tennessee's a small favorite here at 3, I already played them at 2.5 earlier. We talked about that last week in the program. That's going to be a push that I'm going to have with my boy John Chu as we partner up here. And we go through this with a fine-tooth comb as to what strategies we want to do. And this does come in conjunction with mapping out not just the early part of the season, but Jensen, as you mentioned, the later part of the year too. Are there other windows that we feel like we could use said team? So I would look at that. I will not be looking at the Raiders. I know that's going to be a popular pick for some people. I think they might be in danger, grave danger. Is there another kind? Week one against the Dolphins, something I would be a little bit nervy about. So I probably will not be looking there, but that is the type of game I would look at here with those smaller numbers here and take an educated risk there to try to get ahead of the field just a little bit. So those are the type of games that I'm looking at, but I'm not going to tip my hand yet exactly where we're going to go because, again, it is a competition. We'll give those picks as we go out here. But again, for us and our purposes on our show, we will be doing this right along with you, America, and we'll give you plenty of time to get those picks in week in and week out. But I will say this. With the injuries, Jensen, it is changing my opinion. Like, one game I would not have had on my radar that's starting to get on my radar is Pittsburgh week one hosting Atlanta. You know, this, I was all gung-ho about Atlanta a month ago. I'm not as gung-ho about them a month later, right? So that's changing my opinion based on the injuries and everything else that's happened there. So those are the type of things I'm looking for, smaller spreads, not the big ones, where I think the masses are going to be going for week one in their Survivor pools.
I'm just starting to play out on my own map here, the first 4 weeks of the season and seeing where that can kind of leave you in just week five. Remember, we get the bye early there, week five, week six. And then, you know, those coming off of bye spots, the scheduling spots where you might want to leverage. Even it's an absolute doozy for Thanksgiving week, because you have Thanksgiving Eve and Black Friday, and then you have Christmas with you have Christmas Eve too. This will be the most difficult Survivor season because of how the NFL has it shaped at the moment. That's today. Remember, and if you've not watched episode 4 of the Circus Survivor documentary, remember, every single underdog won outright on Thanksgiving. It was an absolute bloodbath as far as entries there. So what you think you know now, you don't know. Everyone else is in the same boat. So don't feel overwhelmed. We're all in this together, people. Can't wait to get it going here in a couple of weeks' time.
If you're going to paraphrase that, Jensen, you have to do it in Jim Mora voice. You think you know, but you really don't know. And you know what? You never will. Jensen, it's so funny because last year I wanted to, like, the goal was let's get out of month number one. And we did that. And then, boom, Thursday Night Football to begin month number two out with Jimmy Garoppolo and the Niners upsetting the Rams. So going to learn from the mistakes from a year ago. That's for sure. Lots to get to coming up here in the third hour. Brad Evans, really good to have him back in the program in hour number three, plus our chaos candidates. They're all straight ahead right here on VSiN by the Books.